Hello, Bror Valker. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much.
So, can you give a brief introduction of yourself and what is your position in the organization?
I go by the alias of Bror Valker and I have the position as the chief of the Icelandic branch.
All right. And can you give us a rundown on the situation in general in Iceland?
Well, we still have a lot of work available. Mass tourism has been a lot promoted in Iceland still. But we have a housing problem, especially in the capital area around Reykjavik. And there has been a great demand of more apartments. But the apartment cost is quite skyrocket at the moment. And we have these Airbnb fashion, which would be the perhaps the reason, and also the banks that have been giving people a little bit trouble of buying their own house.
The details of the banks there, can you go into that? Or is it similar to the U.S. banking crisis, where the banks would inflate the prices of the houses, essentially? Is it similar to that?
Yeah. It was like in the 2008 that everything got doubled by the crisis.
Yeah.
And the people in Iceland, they were they couldn't afford to pay their debts. And there was also these, the foreign currency loans, which were available, and they got skyrocketed during the crisis. Mm. So in short, there were around, as I remember, 10,000 Icelanders who were driven away from their homes.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I mean, what happened to those people then? I guess they had to get other cheaper houses, or did they have to live in family and such?
Yeah, it was... some of them got, some solution for their situation, but there are still some people who have, are put on a certain blacklist, so they cannot get loan from bank still.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
But I think Icelanders, most of us are heavy workers, so many people have been working, relentlessly to, fix their situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And another thing, which is a large issue here in Sweden, is naturally mass immigration. Not exactly a big news if you're listening to this show. And regarding Iceland, are there any large issues with immigration in Iceland, and especially mass immigration?
It's hard to say mass immigration in Iceland. It's not correct, but we have immigration, of course. Around 2017, we had around 4,185 immigrants. It's a total of 35,000, which is around 10 to 11% of the population. Icelanders are around 357,000. But the most immigration will be from Poland, which are 38% of all immigrants. And the next will be from Lithuania, which are mere 5.2%. But we also have immigrants from Philippine Islands, which would be around 4.5%. And others are quite minimum.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But as far from asylum seekers as such that... we have these quota refugees that we have to take in Iceland because of a deal with the European Union also refugees in general. Then we have these migrants which be considered illegal immigrants, but it seems like they are mostly driven away because of our law.
Yeah.
But most of these, asylum seekers would be people from Macedonia and Albanians. But then we have Iraqis, Georgians, and some people from Syria.
All right. Yeah. And did I get that right there? If you can, are most of the immigrants from Poland and Eastern Europe in general, or were most of them from non-white countries?
Most of immigrants would be from Poland,
right,
but migrants would be from the Middle East and Africa, to say.
All right. You mentioned the banking crisis there earlier.
Yes.
And I mean, perhaps you could say that has been the most, if you were to compare, say, the immigration question in Iceland versus the banking question in Iceland, which one is it that people speak about the most in general?
I would say more of the banking crisis.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of that one, have people actually been able to recover fully with houses and such? You said they've been working relentlessly.
Well, some, of course, but not all. So, yeah. There are still, as I said, people recovering and, you know, trying to pay their debts. And, yeah, still there are people stuck on the renting market, so to say.
All right. Yeah, yeah. So mentioning banks and such, naturally, there's a specific ethnic group involved. So in general, on Iceland, how, you could say, Jew-wise are people, or how aware are they of the Jewish ethnic group in Iceland and their influence on society?
I wouldn't say they speak so much about it. And it seems like they are, in general, not so Jew-wise, I would say.
Yeah, sort of similar to the general Western Hemisphere and the way that people look at the Jews.
Yeah, at least this is what I see and I experience. I don't see that they connect much with these questions as you ask.
All right, yeah, yeah. And, well, we were talking about the activist days here before, and you held a sort of summary of the Icelandic branches, the activity in Iceland over the past year.
Yes.
And can you tell us something about the future for Iceland, some of the things that are going to happen there in the coming year?
Well, we will continue to stand fast and continue our work of spreading the word, recruiting more members, and what we have on our drawing board, it will be announced later, that we will have a big activity this year.
Right, right. And I can mention as well that if you have been a member of the Nordic Resistance Movement and you had attended the activist days, you might have known more than there's a, well, something being planned. You might have known more about it. But you'll have to apply for the movement in order to get all the information. Can't broadcast everything over radio. And also regarding the activist days here, do you have any reflections on your visit in general about the speeches, about the lodging, food, etc.?
It has been a really good trip. And I am really glad to meet everyone here. The activist days was well organized, and I was also happy to see all the representatives from all the Nordic countries.
Yeah, I have to say, I think Simon mentioned earlier that we were interviewing that he found the Danish branch to have been an incredibly, like, their report was incredibly powerful, and they have really made big strides ahead.
All right, yes.
So I felt, anyway, personally, that the Danish speaker, it was a short speech regarding the Danish branch's progress over the year, but that was, in a sense, almost like, it was perfect. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, reported the activity and was really quite inspirational. I'm really hyped for the Danish branch in general.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yes, I say it was a very powerful speech from my perspective, and I'm also very happy to see the Danes that have been increasing quite good, and you know, are really, you know, really into the struggle.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, we can hear perhaps an even more powerful speech even from Iceland next year regarding, well, whatever has been planned here, as you mentioned.
Yes, yes.
I think we're going to move on to off topic and such. Do you have anything else in general that you'd like to add regarding your stay, or perhaps regarding Sweden in general now that you've come to visit?
Well, of course, there are much more trees in Sweden than in Iceland.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that earlier today.
Yes, of course. It is said that, for example, people that are used to all of this forest here, that when they come to Iceland, they freak out because of all the landscape that is in Iceland.
Yeah, I can actually attest to that. I visited Iceland, I think it was about a year, a little less than a year ago, or not a little over a year ago, actually, last New Year, I visited Iceland. And I remember feeling that standing on the Icelandic, essentially rocky plains of gravel and stones was a completely new experience. It almost didn't feel like the same planet in a way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was born in the pine trees, essentially,
yes.
and I've never left them. I mean, I barely go to the coast easily. 99% of my life has been spent around trees or in a house.
Exactly. And as I come here, it's been, you know, just traveling around Sweden. It's really nice to see all these trees and houses and lakes, you know. But
When did you arrive, Sweden?
I came to Sweden on the 23rd of January. So okay. I'm going to leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you took a bit of a longer stay this time. Previously, you just kind of landed and then left immediately.
Yes, yes. Now I want to do a lot of catching up, so to say, you know, meet comrades and have a good chat.
Yeah, and join local radio shows. That's one thing you could do.
Yeah, not every day.
yeah, exactly.
What else have you been up to here in Sweden, except attending the activist days?
Well, I just mostly have met other comrades and, you know, having a long chat about many things, I would say. So experience, etc., information exchange. So what I can take back home to Iceland to continue our struggle, for example.
Yeah, and you can mention what you did just before you got back here to send the broadcast.
All right.
Yeah.
I took part in an activity where we put on a bridge here near Lutvika.
Yeah.
It was this lead band which the Finns gave to the Swedish organization.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It looked very nice.
Yeah, and there should be some sort of struggle report appearing on Nordfront, I guess tomorrow or in a day or so with the pictures. And we've already seen the pictures in our local groups. But the pictures were absolutely stunning. The things that we received from the Finnish branch have been amazing.
Yeah, it's actually quite clever to these... dark period of the year, I would say.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant. Like the north is usually known for being dark and cold.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, a banner usually needs to be well lit in order to be seen from the highway.
Exactly. As in Iceland, during this time, it's quite dark, you know, so we have not so much light, so to say.
Yeah.
Days are shorter.
As always, we are a light in the darkness.
All right.
That's right. Yeah.
I have been wondering something for about 9 years now. What happened to Eyjafjalla Jökull? Have you recovered from that crisis?
It was no sweat. But I had a bit of experience of it, you know, because Eyjafjalla Jökull,
yeah, exactly what I said.
Yeah. you got it right. So
yeah.
It's actually three words put together: Eyja as an island, Fjalla as mountain, and Jökull as glacier.
Yeah,
and the name comes from the nearby island, which is called the Vestmann Islands. But when this volcano erupted, and of course it affected the traffic of airplanes, there was so much ash going on to the air. You know, this fine dust that comes from mountain. I remember that I went to with my fiancé and we had to travel eastward. Then the wind was blowing, I recall, from south. So the ash was going to the mountains more. So, and we stayed in a summer house for some time. Then when we were returning, the wind has changed direction. So the ash was blowing to the sea. So we had to drive through like an hour or so through these thick layer of ash. And as I opened my car and checked the air filter, I saw it has been clogged with ash,
Wow.
It was so much. So, and also just seeing some of the sheep on the mountain, they were all dirty because of it, et cetera, et cetera. So it has had a really effect.
Yeah. Did the eruption claim any sort of damages other than like on property and perhaps vehicles? Did anybody actually get hurt in the end from the thing? You remember?
No, I think it was, but it because of the danger of the eruption, there was a farmers around this mountain that had to flee, and some of them went to Reykjavik to stay over.
No.
So, So there were measurements done, but I didn't heard of any injury or something, but it was just, you know, for safety. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I must tell, when you said about talked about ashes there, we had a forest fire maybe like 50 kilometers from here a couple of years ago. And when the wind changed and the ashes flew over Borlänge when I lived there, when I was riding my bike home, it started raining. And the rain was like acid because of the ashes in the rain. So my eyes, it hurted, and the clothes were completely brown. And it was like a nuclear winter. It was, the sky was orange.
Wow. Huh.
So it's, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Almost like lava.
Yeah, exactly. Like lava.
Yeah. But there was also another eruption in 2014-15, which was called Holuhraun, but it was more in the northeast of Iceland. Mm-hmm. And that, as you said, it there was so much gas pouring into the air that you could see it in Reykjavik, for example. Hmm. There was an incident that that the security in Iceland told people to stay inside and put up the heat to full to, you know, to prevent to get gas into the into the house.
Hmm. Hmm.
Sulfur dioxide it was.
Wow.
Okay.
Does anybody else hear in the chat have questions?
Yes. Yesterday when I talked to you, Bror Walker, mm-hmm. we talked about you coming back to Sweden in the summer. And I remember that we also talked about that you don't have any mosquitoes in Iceland.
No, that's true.
So when you come to Sweden this summer, you will be attacked by mosquitoes and probably you will never come back to Sweden after that.
I've been abroad before on summertime, so I have seen mosquitoes. So.
Unfortunately, we have a lot of bloodsuckers here in Sweden.
Mm. All right. Yeah. In Iceland, we have these small flies which are from the lakes and rivers, but it is not called mosquito.
If anybody in the chat has any questions, then you can go ahead and post them here as well. I'm actually not at my producer station. I'm at a recording station right now, so I can't see anybody writing in the chat. But if you have any questions, then maybe perhaps Niklas or Johanna can see you in writing in the chat. And we can ask them here to Bakur.
I would like to know how whale tastes like.
Hmm.
Should I spoil the sweets now?
Yes.
Is it a matter or question of yeah? I for my perspective, it's the best meat I ever tasted.
Okay.
It's tasted better than beef, I would say.
Yeah, I've actually tried whale, and I appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, I have to imagine that if you get a whale steak, for example, then you don't get any of the blubber on the steak, right? Because the blubber would be like probably 30 centimeters thick, not even, or maybe more.
Yeah, you have also this a lot of what you call fish oil taste, I would say.
Oh.
So what you do, for example, it's called in English minke veil, hrefna in Icelandic. I'm not sure for the Swedish word. I'm sorry about that. Minke veil, that is what you get in restaurant is the pure meat, mostly. And it is, when you steak it, it's like 2 minutes on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And but before you cook it, you have to put it in, for example, milk to drain the oily taste out of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Huh.
That's one of the methods, at least.
Interesting.
And then you have a very good steak, I would say.
There's in the chat, a person asks and wonders, if you go to Iceland, what places do you have to visit when you come to Iceland?
Of course, you have to. If you're coming the first time, you have to do the most touristy things. I would say you have to check the Blue Lagoon, which of course is a certain tourist trap, but of course new to newcomers. And you have to take the Golden Circle to see the old parliament on the old parliament place where the Vikings held their thing, their parliament. In the old times, there you can see a big of what do you call it, crack, you know, which will represent the Teutonic plates, like from the North America and from Europe. Of course, you need to see the Golden Waterfall, which it's Gullfoss in Icelandic, and of course Geysir.
Yeah,
Geysir is this. Hot spring water that erupts to the air, like some good meters in the air.
Hmm. Yeah, so you mentioned the Viking meters. Parliament thing. It's probably called Thing in Icelandic, right?
Yeah, the name of the place is Þingvellir.
Yeah, and it's Thing is the same thing word we use in Swedish. Yeah. It's from the Old Norse, I'm sure. So it's shared origin in languages. Yeah,
exactly.
The water from the geysers, is it boiling hot or?
Yeah. Yeah, it is boiling hot. The thing is, as best as I can explain it, is that it is a hot water coming from the ground. It reached the boiling point, and somehow, because of how the hole is, that it erupts right in the air. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are the beginner's tourist thing I would visit if you go to Iceland.
And I can remember actually that I can really recommend going to Iceland. Essentially, not that I've been actually to a lot of places around the globe. I think I've been in Spain once and to Tenerife once. You've also been to Tenerife.
Yes.
We mentioned over the day here we've been chatting because Brúðvakur has been staying at my place after the activist days here. But either way, one of the things which we mentioned there in the beginning that is really sort of the main attraction in a sense is just that it's a completely different landscape.
Yeah.
You don't see anything like Iceland's landscape at all in Sweden, Norway, Denmark and Finland. You have to go there to see it. The rocky expanses is really quite unique. Even that in itself can be, I think, really the main tourist attraction in a sense.
Yeah, that's true. You have these places which are quite deserted, you know, because of volcanic eruption, and we have a lot of lava fields, so to say.
Oh, wow, yeah.
There is another one here in the chat that wonders if you have noticed any cultural differences between Iceland and, for example, Sweden.
Yes, it's hard to say. Of course, there are some, you know. But it's it's hard to say. It's not that I've been noting by myself, you know. But there are some things, you know.
How about this? Then, do you think Swedes are more, say, introverted or extroverted than Icelandics are? Because I know that the stereotype between Danes and Swedes is that Swedes are more introverted and Danes are generally more extroverted, more talkative and such. Are the Icelandics similar to Swedes in introvertedness and extrovertedness, or different?
It's hard to say. I think Icelanders are more extroverted, so to say. But of course, you can't be around Icelander for many years. For example, in Reykjavik, your neighbor, and the only thing you say is just good day to him.
Yeah.
Whenever you don't know him, you don't speak to him so much, so you just try to mind your own business.
Yeah, that's similar to the Swedish phenomenon of everybody sitting like one seat away from everybody else on the bus so that you don't sit next to anybody. God forbid somebody might spark up a conversation. Yeah. That would be embarrassing.
Nearly like that. Perhaps in Reykjavik, for example, people are more in groups, you know, so to say. They probably speak more to their co-workers or their families or friends more, are not speaking so much to strangers, so to say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say. Sorry.
I need to ask you something. There's a person in the chat that is writing something about rotten shark.
Mm-hmm.
And is it like a dish you have?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the person compares it to our Swedish dish called surströmming. It's like rotten fish, but it's very salty and have been in a can of salt for a very long time. And it smells very strong. People don't usually like the smell. Is it rotten shark? Is it something similar?
I would say no, because I tasted surströmming.
Okay, you have.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, I probably done it wrong, and perhaps the generous sheet could, what do you call it, explain it more to me. But my father-in-law, no, my brother-in-law, sorry, he brought a surströmming back from Sweden, and he opened this can. I think you should open it in the water, right?
No.
No, it's not like that. But it was had another taste, you know, and much stronger, I would say, at least different from the shark meat.
Okay, yeah. But the person who wrote it in the chat says it's fermented fish. It's not, of course, rotten.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. That I wanted to correct you.
Yeah. The rotten shark, is it fermented also?
It's fermented, yes. It is. The meat is taken out in a shed outside, at least the old method, and the shed is open from beneath, and it is hanged there, so it breaks down, and after that, it's it gets fermented, and it's ready to eat after a certain time. Mm. So, yeah.
If I visit Iceland, can you maybe make fermented whale? Or shark, and maybe give me a little taste of it.
Yeah, I can go to the next door.
Is it easy to do?
Yeah, yeah. To process it myself, I don't do it myself, but I can go to the store and buy it for you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, then yeah. I definitely will go to Iceland someday.
Yeah. All right. And after that, Roger Ludvika will be waiting for your experience, Niklas. I think I will pass on it if I visit Iceland, though. I'm not an avid surströmming eater either. But either way, we'll actually go ahead and wrap up the interview with Bror Vaker here, and because we have a full schedule for tonight. So we can say thanks to Bror Vaker for participating here tonight. And I guess we'll see you perhaps some other time, maybe not on Radio Ludvika, but in some other show, that's for sure, sometime.
Yes, of course. I just want to say just an end, just a big thanks to everyone I met. I look forward to return for more activity, etc. Tack så mycket.
Ja.
Tack så mycket.
Tack själv.